From one of the bedrooms in Jim Tofte's house, it's The Fake Shed, starring Kendall Tenney and Jim Tofte.
The band Genesis started as a progressive rock band like Yes or King Crimson. Then a series of personnel changes, not the least of which was the loss of leader Peter Gabriel, brought about the transformation into one of the most successful pop rock bands in the 80s and 90s. Now, while Phil Collins was busy pursuing his solo career, Genesis bassist Mike Rutherford formed Mike and the Mechanics, featuring Ace and Squeeze lead singer Paul Carrack. Well, it's come full circle as Rutherford and his Mechanics are celebrating their 30th anniversary with the release of The Living Years Deluxe Edition and with a new tour. Mike Rutherford joins us now from the UK.
Welcome to the show and congrats on Mike and the Mechanics getting out there again. It's something that we're all looking forward to.
Good morning. Thank you.
How long has it been since Mike and the Mechanics have performed?
Well, I mean, the thing is, we never did many live shows. Did a couple of short tours in America. I think mid-'80s, 89 was the last one. But, you know, touring was never very much part of our life in America. It was a busy schedule with Genesis album and tour. So the Mechanics never had much touring history. So, you know, a few years ago, I started doing a couple of live shows, and I was just amazed how well the kind of songs like Living Years and Boy Did a Miracle and Silent Running went down. So it kind of got me into it.
And when you founded Mike and the Mechanics, what was it, 1985, I believe. Was it important that you guys had some side projects to work on at the time?
Yeah, I think Genesis, I've also, in a way, are a unique band, because most bands start side projects because they're not happy with the main project. In our case, we're having the best time with each other, myself and Phil and Tony in the band. There was no problem there. Maybe we should try doing a bit more variety, try some other stuff, you know, just for a challenge, really. So I think a funny way it kept us going, I think, as the main band, for longer probably.
I've talked to musicians in other bands, and sometimes it's you have a little bit of a battle to get some of your stuff on the album. Was that kind of how this formed in a way, that you had a little more freedom?
Yeah, I know what you're saying, but in fact, also, at the same time we started doing solo projects, we thought, well, let's keep the band for writing together. So rather than bring bits in, the last three albums were written completely, like, you know, day one, the blank bit of paper and cross your fingers. And in a way, it made Genesis more a band thing, because the solo stuff, really.
The documentary about Genesis, it seemed to me that I'd seen other documentaries done on you guys, and you were maybe sitting in separate rooms at the time of the interview, but I believe this time you're all in there together. Did that have any effect on the way you were answering some of the questions?
In a way, you're right. I mean, I think it wouldn't have worked without us all being in the same room together. And it's funny how you revert back to the past. You know, Tony and Peter were at schoolboy together, competitive then, competitive now sort of thing. But it was nice, you know, because so many bands do have a sort of a falling out, and we never really do. We just sort of moved on with time, in a sense. So it's nice to have been friends together.
I know that you've talked about the fact that when you were a kid, your dad was a naval officer, and you had this sense of wanting to rebel a little bit. What did your parents think when you suddenly were this long-haired rock guy?
Well, I mean, you got to get the setting. You know, my father was born in 1906, so an older parent as well. He'd gone through two world wars and the Korean War, so suddenly this big English change from, like, you know, the Empire days to the 60s. We were born after the war, and we just had no inkling about what really had gone on. Our parents were shocked, and so we appeared suddenly with this sort of long hair and pop music and young fashion things. It was the whole big left turn, so when he said I wanted to be in a band, didn't quite know what it really meant. But in all fairness, he said, give it a go.
Peter Gabriel kind of at the forefront of everything you guys were doing, and then took kind of a left turn, and Peter Gabriel and Steve Hackett left the band. How tough was that for you guys?
Well, Peter especially, I mean, because we've been to school together, you know, you felt that we couldn't do that anyone. But funny enough, what we did, which is what I've always done, if you're not sure what to do, go and write some songs, and they'll tell you whether you're doing the right thing. And so we did, and Phil's first album, Trick of the Tail, just kind of worked, you know, so it happened quite naturally. Steve leaving wasn't quite such a difficult thing, in a sense, because he was just a guitarist, but I mean, it's always a shame. But I mean, some of these, you know, you find some new energy. It's the way it works, really.
I remember watching the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame induction ceremony in 2010. Trey Anastasio did such a great job from Fish inducting you guys, very impassioned. And then you all went up on stage, and it always just seemed to me that Phil was maybe a little flip. He had that reputation, everyone, and I think it was wrong that he was just the balladeer. And do you think now, after a few years of letting it all kind of settle in, he realizes how great this band was?
I think so. And him too. It's kind of a weird thing happened with Phil Ray, because he was like, you know, the most well-known musician really in the world for about 10 years there. And then suddenly, like always happens when someone is that everywhere, on radio and television, the bubble always bursts slightly. And there's this rather weird media, much more so probably in the UK, I think, like a backlash about, you know, Collins, the balladeer. But he wrote such an amazing song. People sort of, that's sort of after a while, I think that's sort of going away a bit now.
Yeah, of course, there's been speculation the last few years, Mike, about Phil maybe making a comeback and you guys getting back together as Genesis. Is that put to rest now? Is that not going to happen?
No, but there never really any plans. I did that show in 2007, that world tour with Phil, which is great fun. But that kind of came out of the blue, you know. So there were no plans, but they're good friends. I mean, who knows? But nothing planned at the moment.
You must be very excited about going back out on the road with Mike and the Mechanics. It's a new lineup, yes?
Yeah, I mean, because basically about the year 2000, three of us, myself and the two singers, Paul Carrack and Paul Young, about the year 2000, Paul Young died. And myself and Paul Carrack just sort of thought, well, do you know what? It's the end of an era. So we left it there.
Yeah.
I wrote some songs about 4 years ago that I thought, hang on, these are like Mechanics songs. What am I going to do? So I started with live performances, funny enough, actually. Because the Mechanics toured so little, there was not much history to compare it to. And we always had two singers, an R&B voice and a rock voice, which is Tim. So in a sense, it was a good way to start with the live shows.
You've written The Living Years, the book, your take on Genesis. What did the others think of the book? Have any of them read it?
Yeah, they've all read it, I think. Maybe they all quite enjoyed it. It probably came at a good time, because prior to doing the documentary, which you mentioned, they were the book. I think it reminded them probably of what a great time we'd had, actually. You often forget, you know, until you think about the past. And the book took them back into that sort of those early days, and it was a pretty special time, really, though. Rock, pop music appearing for the first time around the world, and being part of it was wonderful.
Mike and Mechanics celebrating 30th anniversary by hitting the road again. The Living Years Deluxe Edition is out, as well as the new Genesis memoir. Looking forward to all of it. You've been one of our favorites over the years, and it was very nice to talk to you today, Mike.
I put it up. Thanks very much. Nice talking to you.
The Fake Show is filmed in front of a live studio audience. Join us next time from Studio G inside Jim Topke's house and talk with all your friends at thefakeshow.com.